There are lions in the village all the time, who walk about without any constraints. On the condition that we pay no attention to them, they pay no attention to us. See a young woman running in front of them, they have no desire to apologize for her anxiety. No, they devour her at once. Isn't it obvious that this is why they constantly promenade around the village, where they have nothing to do? They could just as well yawn somewhere else, right?
Listening to letters 5 through 7 from I Am Writing to You from a Far Off Country by my guest Eve Baglarian. In our performance, you heard cellist Maya Beiser, who is also our narrator, and vocalist Alexandra Montano. Music by my guest Eve Baglarian. WPRB wants you to know that if you have an elderly family member who would benefit from the companionship of a college student, Temple University's Time Out program may be for you. Older adults must live in Philadelphia to participate in the program. For more information, call 215-204-6540. Again, that's 215-204-6540. And this has been a public service announcement from WPRB Princeton, community-supported, independent radio. Well, good afternoon. It is 3 minutes after 12 on Wednesday, the 20th of July, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported, independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you for this show every Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. The program follows my regular Classical Discoveries program, which airs from 5:30 until 11 a.m., also on Wednesdays. However, I will also be with you next week on Monday from 5:30 until 11 a.m., and will be presenting a special 5.5 program totally devoted to music by Ukrainian composers, and do hope you can join me for that. Today I am being honored and joined by American composer Eve Baglarian, who, well, many years ago was a DJ right here on WPRB, and we've talked about that already. Eve, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Marvin.
It's great to have you here, and we're going to go now to another selection from this New World Records CD titled Tell the Birds. This is a piece called Robin Redbreast, and it was dates from 2003, and this is going to be performed now, you mentioned, right?
Yeah, the charming thing is that the piece is going to be performed at Tanglewood in early August, And then I got an email the other day from one of the students at the Bang on a Can Summer Festival, whose nickname is Banglewood, and they're going to be performing it there next week. So I'm having the double play of Banglewood and Tanglewood for this piece in the next
so upcoming it's Robin
weeks.
Robin, Redbreast, Redbreast,
there you go.
Tell us a little bit about the piece, Eve.
Well, the piece was commissioned for a celebration of the poet Stanley Kunitz, who was 100 years old at the time of this commission, Guggenheim Works in Process. And the wonderful thing about the commission is that basically they say, here's the complete works of the poet. Pick one. You can do anything you want.
And, yeah, that's nice.
It's a really lovely thing. And so it was hard because I really like Stanley Kunitz's poetry a lot. And it was difficult to choose. But when I came upon this piece, I decided it was definitely the one to do. And there's an electronic part that's sort of inflected by the vowels of the text, which if you listen carefully, you can hear how that drone gets inflected. But I'll let the piece
You'll let the
do,
music
do
speak for
does.
Itself, right?
So speak.
Here we go. Yeah. In our performance, we hear vocalist Corey Dargle along with piccolo player Margaret Lancaster. This is Robin Redbreast by my guest, Eve Baglarian.
It was the dingiest bird you ever saw. All the color washed from him as if he had been standing in the rain, friendless, stiff, and cold. Since Eden went wrong in the house marked for sale, where nobody made a sound, in the room where I lived, with an empty page, I had heard the squawking of the jays under the wild persimmons tormenting him. So I scooped him up after they knocked him down, in league with that ounce of heart pounding in my palm, that dumb beak gaping, poor thing, poor foolish life, without sense enough to stop running in desperate circles, needing my lucky help to toss him back into his element. But when I held him high, fear clutched my hand. For through the hole in his head cut whistle clean, through the old dried wound between his eyes, had tunneled out his wit. I caught the cold flash of the blue on a peaceable sky.
You were just listening to Robin Redbreast by my guest Eve Baglarian. We heard vocalist Corey Dargle along with piccolo player Margaret Lancaster. That was from a New World Records compact disc. Well, Eve, that is from one of your major projects that one can read about on your website. And we'll go to that in just a moment. But for listeners who are interested in your music, you do have a very extensive website. And what is that address?
The address is a little tricky.
You better excuse. Yeah, you take
I'm
over.
I'm going to explain it. It's evbvd.com, which is really easy once you get the rhythm of it. But if you think EV, B for Baglarian, and then V for values, and D for decussation, which is this bizarre word from Sir Thomas Browne, the 17th century essayist, that I won't explain right now.
Oh, okay. That sounds good to me. And also to make things even easier, I will have a link to your site on the playlist for today's show on my site.
Way easier.
So that, and speaking of which, is that if you want more information about any of the selections played today by my guest Eve Baglarian, you can go to my website. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org, and we will have the site, and we'll have that updated for you by this evening. Now, the piece we just heard, that was a selection from one of your major projects, Book of Days.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, the project itself.
Well, in 2001, or around the turn of the millennium, I got the idea that it would be a cool thing to make, in a sense, a commonplace book, a book of days, where for each day there would be a text which I would set to music, and then I would invite visual artists to make artworks in response to the resulting piece. And so it would be sort of like an illuminated manuscript from medieval times, you know, that's like a book of hours or a prayer book or whatever. And I realized that there were pieces that I had written prior to having this idea that could fit into the structure of the Book of Days. And then subsequently to getting the idea, I've been gradually adding to the Book of Days. And my goal is that I'll finish this 365th.
Yeah, it's quite a project.
Right. And then keel over, you know, at that exact moment. So God willing, that's how it'll
work
out. That is
quite a project, to say the least. And that's one of your, I guess you could say, major projects. Let's go now to another one, and this one is fascinating, your river project, which involved, well, I mentioned a little bit about that at the beginning when you were, I guess, completed a 4.5-month journey down the Mississippi. Now, what was it, first of all, so special to you about the Mississippi River?
Well, the genesis of the project actually came from a few different things happening. One of them was that Hurricane Katrina, I sort of responded to really strongly, as most of us did. And one of the things I did is I found this book called Rising Tide, which talks a lot about the 1927 flood and its effect on American culture. And in some ways, you can see the dispersal of specifically the African-American communities that were living in the Delta and in New Orleans throughout the country, as being sort of central to the development of American music in the 20th century, both jazz and blues going into rock.
And
then, of course, we had the economic crash. And I was in New York City sort of, you know, biting my fingernails about how I was going to continue to make a living as a freelance composer you know, post-crash economy. And so I thought, okay. And then, of course, Obama got elected, and I felt like this is my country after all. I'm a real American. And so I want to explore what that means at this juncture in American history. And so I decided to design my own one-person WPA project. You know, I realized that even with the election of Obama, it was unlikely that they were going to start putting artists and writers on payroll to go wander around the countryside. So I decided to do it myself. And I got really lucky and got some funding from the McKnight Foundation, which happens to be in Minnesota, and the headwaters of the Mississippi are in Minnesota. And I felt like the Mississippi River is the spine of the country, and that even though I'm definitely a coastal person, I grew up in Los Angeles, I live in New York, I mean, I was born in Michigan, but I am a very deracinated Midwesterner. You know, I don't have much in the way of roots in the Midwest. But I really felt that if I wanted to understand this country in some newly visceral way, that going down the Mississippi River at a human-powered pace would be a really transformative experience. And it definitely turned
out
to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So you went down, it was 4.5 months. How about, I mean, your living, I mean, did you live, I mean, day to day?
Well, most of the time, I had other people traveling with me. We had a car, a bicycle, and a kayak. And on any given day, one of us would take the kayak, and the other person would take the car, and we would trade off. If there was a third person, we'd take the bicycle. Once the river got really big, I bicycled more than I paddled, just simply because it's like bicycling on a superhighway to kayak on the Mississippi River below Cairo. It's like crazy, you know. And so I only did it when I had other people to paddle with. But we camped out the whole way down. You know, every 10 days or so, we'd like splurge on the Motel 6 or whatever. And I blogged about
the
journey.
That must have sounded like a real glamorous hotel at that point.
Well, yeah, you know, when you're sleeping outside every night.
I'm sure.
You know, a bed and an internet connection is kind of
heaven,
a thrilling thing.
Heaven.
And on the days that I wasn't on the river, I would explore nearby towns and so on, and also often find a library or an internet cafe, and I blogged about the journey as I took the journey, which was this really wonderful experience because it sort of developed a community who were following my journey, you know, vicariously, if you will, on the blog. And it was a really marvelous experience.
Right.
And I'm very excited because now I've been writing pieces responding to that journey, inspired by the experience itself, the sounds that I recorded on the river, and also the things that I read growing out of ideas that I got or things that I learned about on the river. And now one of my favorite collaborators, Mary Rowell, the violinist Mary Rowell, and I are going to go back to the river this fall and start doing some performances along the river, and especially to go back to the towns that we stayed in or hung out in, or that I stayed in and hung out in going down the river, and say, here's what I wrote in response to hanging out with you before.
And, oh, wow.
So I'm very, very excited about that.
And we're going to hear, we have a piece now. What are we going to hear now?
Yeah, the piece we're going to play right now is called I Am Really a Very Simple Person. And it's the first piece I wrote after finishing the journey down the river. And it was something that somebody said to me, which I found to be completely false. Mm-hmm. And so this is a piece that seems like a really very simple piece until you try to start singing along with it.
Well, let's see what happens. Music by my guest, Eve Baglarian.
Mm-hmm.
Members of Brim just performed I Am Really a Very Simple Person, composed just last year by my guest Eve Beglaria. Well, here is the weather forecast for the Princeton area from the National Weather Service. We have an excessive heat warning, an air quality alert, and a hazardous weather outlook. This afternoon, we have mostly sunny skies with a high near 94, south wind around 7 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 70, south wind around 5 miles per hour becoming calm. And tomorrow, Thursday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 96. Heat index values as high as 103. light wind becoming southwest between 11 and 14 miles per hour. And moving ahead to Friday, I don't think you're going to want to hear this. It will be mostly sunny, but it will be hot, and I mean very hot, with a high near 99. West wind between 3 and 8 miles per hour. We currently have fair skies with haze and 87 degrees at Mercer County Airport in Trenton. Well, I am being joined up until 1 o'clock today by composer Eve Baglarian. Eve, welcome back. It's
Thank
great
you,
to have you here. You're having a good time coming back to your old home, I guess, here at WPRB.
I'm loving it.
It's great to have you here. And we talked earlier a little bit about your interest in early music, and we're going to listen to a contribution to an Innova release, which is actually an adaptation of Hildegard von Bingen's Ordo Virtutum. The CD is actually called Electric Ordo Virtutum and includes music by yourself as well, by others as well as yourself. Eve, tell us a little bit about the project briefly and your contribution to it.
Yes, the way this project unfolded is that the composer Kitty Brazelton came to me and a group of us in, when would that have been, the mid-90s, and said, let's perform some Hildegard at this downtown club. And we did that, and it was really fun. And we just sang it. You know, it was just a performance of Hildegard. And then we enjoyed it so much that she said, let's do something more. And I said, well, if we're going to do something more, let's do a theater piece, because that's way more interesting than just doing concert music. And so I proposed that we do the Ordo Virtutum.
So this was your brainchild, really.
Yeah, but really it's Kitty who started the whole ball rolling, for sure.
You don't have to be modest, but that's okay.
And so we ended up with Kitty, Lisa Bielava, who you have had as a guest here before, a composer by the name of Elaine Kaplinsky, and myself. And we made a sort of electrified version. Each of us took one section of the four sections of the piece, mm-hmm. and we played the protagonist for the section we were in, mm-hmm. and did the arranging and the, you know, recomposing based on Hildegard. And then we performed that again, downtown, no budget, you know, I don't know, cardboard things to show the scene changes or whatever. And then we were invited to do it at Lincoln Center. And so Lincoln Center hired a director for us, a woman named Greta Barrett Holby, and we did a production at Lincoln Center that was, like, pretty intense and really fun. Yeah. And that was in 1998. And we recorded the CD at the time, but it wasn't quite finished. And so finally, 10 years later, or 11 years later, whatever it is, this CD just came out
a couple years ago.
I don't know.
It's recent. And I've played other tracks from it before, and we're going to hear your contribution. This is Act Three.
Yes.
This is music by my guest, Eve Baglarian. We hear the Hildegirls in this performance.
Yeah. Parens dulce do absorbuit me in peccatis, et ideo non ausa sum intrare.
Ipsius cum rose. Thank you.
Music by my guest, Eve Baglarian. That was Act 3 from the Electric Ordo Virtutum, based on Hildegard of Bingen. You heard the Hilde girls in that performance, and that was from an Innova compact disc. Well, Eve, before we play our final selection, just share with us a bit about what's coming up for you in the upcoming season. You mentioned something that's coming up very soon, like next week.
Right.
Right. But what's coming up for you in 2011-2012?
Well, there are lots of sort of strands of the River Project that are moving out in various mm-hmm. different directions. One of them is a project about the sirens that is currently playing as an installation in Sheffield in the UK, mm-hmm. Which is going to turn into a performance piece as well, and that's okay. taking shape right now. I also have some performances. The Portland Ensemble is doing an evening of River Project music, mm-hmm. including larger chamber pieces that Brim can't perform.
Right, right.
And then in January, I'll be at Abrams with River Project music. In February, I'm participating in a festival. You know, so, it sort of goes on like
tremendous
that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today on Classical Discoveries Goes Avant Garde. We'd just like to remind all of the listeners that the playlist for this program will be on my website by this evening. The address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Any comments or questions about the program, feel free to email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Eve, we've got about 40 seconds. What would you like to say about our last piece?
Creating the World is based on a poem by Milosz. It starts slowly and sort of builds and goes in all these different places, and I think it speaks for itself.
Very good. We hear the Paul Drescher Ensemble Electroacoustic Band, along with soprano Jessica Gould and vocalist Roger Rees. Eve, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Have a great day, everybody, and please try to keep cool. Heat is it's going to get worse and worse as the week progresses.
celestials at the board of projects burst into laughter. One of them has designed a hedgehog, another not to be left behind, a soprano, eyelashes, a bust, and ringlets, plenty of ringlets. It is superb fun in the ocean of seething energy among bursts and clacks announcing electric currents. Buckets of protocolors gurgle, protobrushes labor. A mighty whirl of almost galaxies beyond nearly windows and pure radiance that has never experienced clouds. They blow conchs, somersault in protospace in their realm of archetypes, the seventh heaven. The earth is practically ready. Its rivers sparkle, forests cover it, and every single creature waits for its name. Thunder strolls the horizon, but the herds in the grass do not lift their heads. Towns come to be. Narrow streets. A chamber pot poured out a window. Laundry. And immediately freeways to the airport. A monument at a crossroads. A park. A stadium for thousands when they get up and roar, goal. To invent height, two times two and the force of gravity would be quite enough. But on top of it, panties with lace.
Lace.
A hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus.
The beak of a toucan. A chastity belt with its terrible teeth. A hammerhead shark, a visored helmet, plus time, that is, a division into was and will be. Was and will be. Gloria, Gloria, sing objects called to being. Gloria, sing objects called to being. Gloria, Gloria, sing objects called to being. Gloria, sing objects called to being.
Gloria, Gloria.
Hearing them, Mozart sits down at the pianoforte and composes music that had been ready before he himself was born in Salzburg. If only it could last. But no way. It iridesces, passes, turns inside a soap bubble together with an invocation the celestials address to mortals. Oh, dizzy tribe. How not to look at you with pity? Your bright rags, your dances, seemingly profligate, but in truth, pathetic. Mirrors in which you leave a face with earrings, painted eyelids, eyelashes with mascara. Oh, to have so little. Nothing except feasts of love. How feeble your defense against the abyss. And the sun rises, and the sun sets. And the sun rises, and the sun sets. While they go on running. Running.